know, last time we began discussing different considerations that could come up in trying to make a positive determination to avoid a chashash mamzeris. We focused last time on civil marriages. In the mamzeris context, is if the first marriage was civil or non-halachic, then there are grounds to allow the product of a second marriage to marry freely. One other matter, which Rav Avadia was a very big proponent of in a kind of innovative way, definitely a way that hadn't been pushed among earlier poskim, and that is invalidating a original kedushin on the basis of nimsa echad mehen karov o pasul. The Gemara in the end of the first Rekamakos that we're probably all familiar with tells us about the din of nimsa echad mehen karov o pasul yusam betela. Machlokes, so whether that applies to Dayanim as well, that's not our issue today, that we discuss that in the Geirus context. So when it comes to Edom, Nimsa Echem and Karva Pasol, so just like if you have a cast of two Edom, one of them is a Karva Pasol, the cast is Batel. So if you have a cast of 100 Edom, one of them is found to be a Karva Pasol, the whole cast is Batel. So the Gemara there is bothered by the notion of Mayasu Shnei Achim Shorab Echad Sharagas and Efesh. So if that's the case, then you can never convict a murderer if you have relatives that are present to see the murder, because even if you have 100 people there, if one of them is a Karva Pasol or the Krovim Zelazet, so then you can't have acceptable Edus. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, Hach Yarminu Lehu, we ask the Edim, Lemechse Yasisu, O Lasudi Yasisu, were you there just as spectators, or were you there as participants? Were you there just to see what was going on? Were you there to say Edus? So if they say Lasudi Yasisu, if you're coming to say Edus, so then that creates a certain status of Kas, and then you say Nimsa Echem and Karva Pasol Edus and Mateil. If they say Lemechse Yasisu, we only came to be spectators, so then, so then rhetorically, the fact that you have people who are Krovim Zelazep or people who are Psulim who see a murder doesn't preclude other Kasher Edim from saying Edus about that murder. Satosos has a comment in Bava Basra, the parallel Sugya in Yesh Nochlin, Bava Basra Kufi Dalam and Aleph Aval Balaila, Kufi Dalam and Aleph Tosos Dibra Maskal Aval Balaila. So Tosafot there says that we only have a problem of a disqualified cast of Nimsa Echad Karva Pasol where their intention is to say Edus. De'ilo teima hachi ein lecha get kasher kishenos to mifnei groven o kiddushin in this kavne l'hair. Because if you don't say that, so then any time you have a relative in the room for a get, that's going to pasol the get. Because if everyone automatically is considered to be an aide, if you have a karov in the room, a pasul in the room, that's going to pasul the get. Same thing by kedushin. If you have any, unless you have a chomer, you're not allowed to invite any relatives to your wedding. So then, if there's a relative present, that's going to pasul the whole kedushin. And that's in the spirit of mayafish neach and shereb echad charagas nefesh. There is a famous comment of the Ritva in kedushin daf mem gimel and aleph tiba maskel itmar. So there the Ritva writes, Miyu kol hecha sheyesh ba'osa mamet kesherim ripsulim. Anytime you have a wedding, let's say, where you have kasher edim and pasul edim present, o krovim, or you have relatives, sarach liyached edei hakedushin. So you have to be miyached edei kedushin to say that these are the only edei kedushin. De'i lo kivein de'ika eid pasul b'neim edus kulam b'teila. That's right. De'ilo came and de'ikad echad pasul b'neim edus kulam b'teila. If you're not going to be yachid edim kedushin, so then if you have other edim present who are krovim ripsulim, that's going to knock out the edus. Afagav the army lemechse yasina. The chiyamina and hasan der mina lehu lemechse yasisun ola sudi yasisun. The army lemechse yasisun tiskayim edus. When do we say in the Gemara Makos that we ask the edim, were you intending to be spectators? Were you intending to be participants to be edim? Haina b'dine mamnus of dina nefashos. That makes sense. By dina mamnus dina nefashos, shein edus miskayemes ad shaban lebezdin v'shas rielo chashiv edus. When it comes to dina mamnus dina nefashos, for the edus of any effect, there has to be an edus b'fnei bezdin. So then we ask them, what was your intention? Did you intend to come to bezdin to say edus? Aval hakam v'kidushin eina edus ba la'ames adavar bilvad. When it comes to for edus dinei mamnas dinei nefashos, you need the edus to be mekayim to establish the truth of what happened, the validity of what happened. established effects. When it comes to Kedushin, there's an objective din that one of the technical requirements for Kedushin to be effective is it has to be with Eidim. So even if we all know full well that there is a Kedushin, but there is a requirement of Eidim, then the Kedushin came below Eidim, there's a custom. That's there's a custom. You have to have the Eidim there. So the relevant point is not when they come to Bezin, the relevant point is there. The came and the Kain, Shas Maisa, who Shas Eidusan. So the Shas Eidim is not when they come to Bezin, the Shas Eidim is the Shas Maisa, the Shas Kedushin. The came and the Ika, see, Rapsuli Eidim, Imahen, Eidim, Kulam, Betela. So that's why, according to this position in the Ritva, you have to be Miyachid Eidim Kedushin. If you're not Miyachid Eidim Kedushin, so then you run into the problem of Nimsa Echamehan, Karov, O Puzzle. What's Miyachid Eidim Kedushin? So, presumably, it doesn't necessarily require the Lashon that the Rav used to the exclusion of all others. That these are the Eidei Kedushin to the exclusion of all others. Simply calling them up to Eidei Kedushin is probably sufficient Eidei Yichud Eidim according to the Ritva. Now, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Simon Membez. So Mechaber writes the Simon Membez of Dalid, Kideish Bifnei Edim, Afilo Lo Amar Atem Edim Mikudeshes. So Kedushin b'fnei Eidim is effective even if there's no Yichud Eidim. The Ramah says, "Afilu Yichud Eidim, Yichal Machayim Shirava Ma'ase L'Hayim." And even if you are Miyachid Eidim, that doesn't exclude the possibility of other people being Mayid. That's from a Rivash. And then it says, "Hey, Hamakadesh b'psuli Eidus deraisa in Kedushin." If you're Mekadesh, you affect Kedushin in front of Psuli Eidus deraisa, Kedushin is not chal. Val Psuli Eidus derabanan, obey the Mishem Safik Psuli Torah, in Rosa Lifna, as close to Mekadesh Eidim Kesherim, in Lora Rosa Lifna, Sricha Gemi Safik. Fine. Okay. So lahalacha, there's no requirement in Shulchan Aruch of being miyached eidei kedushin, and the Rama writes on this Rivash that even if you are miyached eidei kedushin, that doesn't preclude the other people present from saying eidus. Okay. So there's a tshuva the Chasam Sofer that the Piskei Tshuva quotes. The Chasam Sofer is in Eben Ezer Simen Kuf. So if you have a Kedushin Bifnei, so we assume that Kedushin Bifnei Echad is ineffective, you need two Kasher Eidim. So if there are only two, if there's only one Kasher Eid in the room, so then that would not be an acceptable Kedushin. But let's say there were two Eidim under the Chuppah, two Eidim Kedushin, and it turns out one of the Eidim was a Karav Apostle, unbeknownst to the people standing there. And then you find out afterwards that one of the Eidim was a Karav Apostle, but there are 100 other Kasher Eidim in the audience who saw the Kedushin. So the Chasam Sofer writes, Eben Ezer Simen Kuf, according to the Piskei Tshuva, that he quotes the Avnei Miluim that is appropriate to be Miyached Eidei Kedushin and Eidei Gittin, but that's not Ma'akev. He says that even if you're not Miyached Eidim, Mikol Nochem Dacha Bailim Einam Ela Lecherim. So the intent of the Chasan is that he wants the people who are kosher to say Eidim to function as Eidim. V'lav kol kiminei kiminayu dipsulim levato rasan abaylim umaseyim. So let's say you by mistake were miyached an a puzzle, but the intent of the chassan is he wants to be married, so he wants the kasher edim to fucking his kasher edim. So you don't have the authority to empower a puzzle aid at the expense of the kasher edim. V'mkein hacha afa pisha hizmin a rav misadu zeh hapuzzle litzarif. So even though in the Nidon L'chassin Sofer, the Mesadu Kedushin invited up Apostle A to be one of the Eide Kedushin, Lav Kol Kaminei, Lahav Seda Kedushin, Shachas Mekala Miyanubo, for L'Ratzu Shiyaleim Eidim Zulasi Akcherim. The intent of the Chassin Mekala only to have Kesherim as their Eidim, and therefore even if you designated Apostle A, that doesn't invalidate the Kedushin. The Rav Shechter says that someone once asked the Rav, there was a Seder Kedushin, and they discovered after the fact that one of the Eidim Kedushin that was designated was Pasul. So they asked the Rav whether they should be Mesadu Kedushin again, at least the Luchomer to be Choshesh, that maybe you'd be bothered by Nimsa Echakar Pasul by Eidim Yuchadim. And the Rav didn't think there was a need to be choshish for that, even l'chumra. He didn't think that if there are other kasher edim present, he didn't think that there's any need in the world to be, in that case it would be l'chumra, to be concerned that the edim would have been invalidated because of a pasul being one of the edim miyuchad. Rav Avadya, in a number of tshuvos having to do with concerns of mamzeris, is a very big fan of Marivayel. The Beis Yosef quotes Marivayel Simin Zayin. Marivayel is of the opinion that if you're Miyached or you have designated Eidei Kedushin and one of them turns out to be apostle, then the Eidus is no good. So a number of Tshuvas, Rav Avadya paskind that even though in the first marriage there was a chuppah of the Kiddushin officiated out by an Orthodox rabbi, there might have been plenty of Orthodox people in the audience, but where they made a determination that one of the Eidim was a puzzle, Rav Avadya, usually B'tzirif other factors as well, because we'll see Rav Avadya had many other tzirufim for these issues, but Rav Avadya was prepared to be mater, the child of such a second marriage, on the basis of Nimsa Echem Yikar V'puzzle, based on Marivayel. Rav Avadya is very emphatic that the Marivayel is normative psak, and we don't accept this chassan sofer. Marivayel was from the later Rishonim, and that is correct lalacha. So Rav Avadya, in some sense, he didn't make this up, but he very much pushed this presentation about Nimsa Echakar Apostle, and created a certain momentum in the Rabbanut after him, at least among the Sephardi Dayanim of the Rabbanut, to take that approach. There's one tshuva, which printed in the posthumous Ram of Rabbi Yom Rechel Yid Aleph, Simon Tess. Rav Avadya discussed such a situation to be matter the child of a second marriage, and they discovered that one of the Eidei Kedushin of the first wedding was an attorney, a lawyer, who was practicing in Israel. So Rav Avadya said he's possible Eidus because he violates the Yisra Kos, representing clients in the secular courts in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he's a puzzle, and Nimsa Echakar V'puzzle, he's just a metalus, even if there are plenty of other kasher edim present, the fact that one of the designated edim was a lawyer, puzzle the Kedushin, and again, there are other tzirufim, but Rav Avadya is prepared to allow the free marriage of the child of a second marriage under those circumstances. We had one case that we dealt with in the Beis Din. We actually met with the person in this very room a number of years ago, where there was a woman who was having difficulty obtaining a get from her husband for many years, and they were trying to figure out some solution, and the woman was married in an unquestionably Orthodox ceremony by an unquestionably Orthodox Mesadu Kedushin, but she had some advocate who was trying to help her out, and this advocate discovered that one of the Eidim Yuchadim, this rabbi said that these are the Eidim Kedushin to the exclusion of all others, one of the Eidim Kedushin was a Mechal Shabbos. So in our book, that doesn't really help because of this chasam sofer. There are plenty of other kosher eidim present. But we were wondering, what would Rav Avadya say? Because all, to that point, all of Rav Avadya's tshuvas in print were about using karva pasul to be matir mamzer shayla, which is more kal, something mamzer mutter, not to be matir in eshes ish li'alma. So we were gove eidus. We had people testify in front of Beis Din that they knew that this eid kedushin was mechal Shabbos at the time. And then we wrote this up and sent the whole write-up to my friend Rabbi Avadya Yosef Toledano, who now he sits on the Beis Din of Rav Asher Weiss. At the time he was learning Rav Asher's Kollel. He's written those three volumes on Kinyanim, many others from at this point. So the last few years of Rav Avadya's life, that was our avenue to get to Rav Avadya. So I sent him the Shaila, he worked on it, he wrote very nice tshuva, so he would bring it to his grandfather. His grandfather would sign on with a few lines on the bottom. So in this case, Rav Avadya thought that you could be makel even in Yenesh's Ish on the basis of this Marivayel and his position by Nimsa Echa Karba Pasel, and he wrote a fact to that effect. This woman was not of Sephardic extraction, so she took this psakim of Avadya and went. Shlomo Miller got involved and others, and they weren't prepared to accept the psak. So one of I believe this is the only time that Rav Avadya ever wrote a letter directly to Rabbi Willig. Rav Avadya wrote a letter to Rabbi Willig, basically saying that you should really accept my psak on this matter and allow this woman to remarry. That all the issues that spurred, they're behind the Shachrit Hari in this particular case, led Rabbi Avadya Yosef Toledano to write a whole sefer on this case called Mishpat Ha'edus, a beautiful volume of hundreds of pages dealing with some of the halachic issues that came up in this particular case. Okay. Now, Bechlal, when it comes to dealing with potential questions of Mamzeris, you have to figure out who has the amanus to say what. What is the source of information that there was a original marriage, Bechlal, per se? What's the source of information that there's any chashash to begin with? So the Rambam writes, Yisurei Bia Perei Tesvav Halacha Yates, Eishes Ish, Shaisa Muberes, a woman's pregnant, a married woman's pregnant, V'yamra, and she claims that the father of this child is not my husband. So a woman has no nemanus to passel her child. The son has a full cheskas kashrus. So there's a special nemanus yakir for the father, that because of the father's nemanus to identify who the bechor is for the chelik of pishnayim, he also has nemanus to identify the kashrus of his son. But that's a special nemanus yakir for the father. Therefore, the father says, this isn't my son. The father does have nemanus. But the woman has no such nemanus to passel her child. That's why he passed in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Dalit Kav Tes. The woman says that this Uber is not from my husband. She has no ne'amanus. So that being the case, if the only knowledge that we have that the woman who was previously married is from the mother herself, so then you probably don't have to believe her. Ramosha has a tshuva. Chela Gimel Simen Kaf Evan Ezra. Chela Gimel Simen Kaf. Someone who's married civilly and there's a product of a second marriage. So he writes, regarding this girl, Sarah Susanna Weinstein, so much for anonymity, that according to her mother, she married Gregory Golovsky after a civil marriage, and she said they had a halachic marriage too in 1929, in some town in Europe. In that city, they only had 12 families, and none of them were from. And presumably, they didn't have kosher eidei kedushin. And there are no kosher eidim who could testify that she was married to this person, bechlal. And then, since her husband didn't want to give her a get, and they stopped living together, she started living with Boris Weinstein. And they had this daughter, Sarah Susanna Weinstein. Weiser Moshe, Lanius Daiti, since there are no Edim who could testify about the first Nisuin that there's a lachy marriage Bechlau, she has no Nemadus. She has Nemadus for herself, Bidin Shavin Ashek Hatichidi Surah, that she has no Nemadus to apostle the daughter. And as far as the civil marriage, so that's only the Chumra that we require a get from Iker Adin. We don't require a get. So obviously it would be better to receive a get, but given that wasn't the case, it could be master the daughter to marry. The only representation that there was a lachy marriage bechlal is from the mother. The mother has no ne'amanus. Similarly, Igros Moshe Eben Ezer Chela Gimel Simen Hay, Chela Gimel Simen Hay. Someone comes, wants to get married. We discover that the mother was from a small town near Lublin before the war, and she had some kind of a chuppah, and then she went to Argentina with the intention of bringing her husband back with her. But when she got to Buenos Aires, 1939, she married someone else, the chuppah of the Kiddushin. Cesar Moshe, Linnaeus Daiti, the whole source of information that she was married b'chuppah v'kiddushin the first time is only from her. There's no edus, so we're not going to apostle the child from a second marriage based on her representation, because she has no ne'amanus. There was some document indicating that they were married together, but it doesn't mean that there was a chuppah v'kiddushin. Maybe she needed the document in order to escape. So absent any independent verification that there was a chuppah v'kiddushin the first time, she has no ne'amanus. Ruvadia has similar things. Yabi Omer Chelag Yud Eben Ezer Simen Vav. Chelag Yud Eben Ezer Simen Vav. What was his shayla? That someone comes to get married. He heard from his grandmother that his grandfather was the second husband. She had been married to the first husband in 1943, the Chuppah v'Kiddushin in France. They only had a civil divorce in 1951. In 1955, she remarried her second husband civilly and had a child from the second marriage. The early Survadi only has the initials, not the real name. I discovered this in sending Shilas, that if you write too many identifying details, it ends up in the tshuva, then the tshuva ends up being printed in a sefer. And you never know who's going to read that and figure out who the people are talking about. So I've learned not to give actual names of people or even sufficiently identifying details in a shayla, because you never know what's going to end up printed in the shuva. Anyway, so Rav Avadia writes, after investigation, there is no document, there's no edus, there's no kapi v'ksuba to prove that the grandmother was married b'chuppah v'kiddushin at all. Maybe it was done by some reverend, by someone who didn't know Bitiv Gittin V'Kedushin. Doesn't appear in the community records. Then Ravadia said, even if you'll believe the grandmother, then other Sneifim Lahakas will see that maybe she became pregnant from a guy. and maybe the purported father isn't the father anyway. But it does seem pretty clear that where there's no objective evidence, no independent evidence that there was a first marriage, the only source of the evidence is the mother herself, the grandmother herself. She has no nemanus. The question is, what kind of lengths do you need to go to find the evidence if the evidence is out there? So Moshe discussed that a little bit. Like, if there is a readily available document out there, a marriage document, so do you have to look for it? Because the reality is, if that were to come up, then you could be in bigger trouble. You allow someone to remarry because we have no firm evidence that there was a first marriage, and then we get that evidence afterwards, after the person's already married with children of their own. So then that could be worse. Even if you say, like we've shechted always quotes from Rav Chanan, that Safek Mamzer Mutter is like the Ran and Kedushin's Orla B'chutzlaretz, that if the person is unaware that there is such an issue, then it's on the Thaiver. But maybe the evidence will come to the fore anyway, later on, and then you'll be worse off. Ravadi writes another Shuva, that even if there was a case where there was a written document signed by a Masada Kedushin indicating that there was Chuppah for Kedushin. So Ravadi writes it's only Edecha. So even Edecha has no Nemanus, the Davish of Erva. So even if you have a document signed by a Masada Kedushin, that wouldn't constitute sufficient evidence. That seems like a Chiddush. We were dealing with the case over the last year of someone where the representation was that the grandmother had been married before the war and presumed the grandfather to have been killed, then remarried after the war, and then Bahar Baraglov discovered that the first husband was alive and well, even though she had already remarried with children, and both lived separate lives from thereon, both independently remarrying. So they're also the source of information was from the family who are psulim. And even though there was a obituary when this grandfather, when the first husband passed away over the age of 100, telling this whole story that he had been married before and then his first wife reappeared, that also probably has no nemanus. But the question was there a need to look into documentation? Is there independent documentation that there was a first wedding and maybe the chuppah of a kiddusha? So I was talking to Rosh Weiss about the case, who wrote us a tshuva about it in the end. So he thought that if the documentation exists, you probably need to look into it. So we did look after the documentation from one of the Baltic republics from before the war, where there was a document. Turns out it wasn't necessarily a riot that there was a chuppah of kiddushin, even though it was signed by an Orthodox rabbi. And those are some of the things that we need to look into. So in that tshuva we just quoted, Chelek Yud, Yabi Omer, Evan Ezra, Simon Vav, Avadya raises the question of Shemanis Avram Igoi, that even though she claims that the husband is so-and-so, he's Jewish, that the father is so-and-so, is Jewish, how do we know? Just as the Mechaber has in Siman Dalet Sifya Tes, based on the Rambam, the notion of Kishem Shizim Samzeh Kasim Sanacher, if we know a woman to be promiscuous and to have a relationship with one man, maybe she had a relationship with another man just as well. And maybe that other man was a guy that doesn't create Mamzerus. especially where most of the residents, the majority of the residents, are non-Jews. So it could be Tola Berov, or sometimes the Trey Ruby. This Trey Ruby, the sugya in the end of the first parak in Ksubas, that appears in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Vav, Sif Yitzayin. Penuya, Shara'ua, Shenivala Le'echad, V'halach Lo'abol. So we know that a penuya was nivala to someone, an anonymous man, and he went away. V'yamrula Miuze, was this guy, Shabal Lecha Alayach. V'yam Adam Kasher, he's a kasher person. Harezu Naman is to say that she is Mutaris HaKohen. V'lo Od, Afilu Ru'umu Beres, we see that this single woman is pregnant. V'yamrula Miyamu Beres, who's the father. V'yamr Yadam Kasher is in a menace. V'tehe Yubitu Mutaris HaKohen. Medvar Murim, Kishaya Machem Shenivala Bo Parshas Drachim. That's where they were at a fork road. Oh, Bikrano, Shebisados, Shekol Ovin Sham, in a public place where there's a lot of travelers in the field, where everyone passes through. Vayurova Ovim Sham Kesherim, Vrova Yersha Pirshu Elo Ovim Mimanacherim. So you have Trey Ruby, you have Rov of the residents, Rov of the travelers, Trey Ruby Sherim. Aval Ima Yurova Ovim Psulim Asa, Posim Asa, Gungayim Amzerim. Then she doesn't have that manus. So that's Trey Ruby in the context of Bimashir. Trey Ruby to say that we can assume that there's a super rove that she was Nivala Lakasher. But it works in the other direction also. That if you have Trey Ruby, that the bow was a puzzle, the bow was a guy. So that'll ask her lacuna, but it'll be mad to the child. So maybe you could say that also says Rav Avadya. You have Trey Ruby, any situation where the majority of the population of the city is non-Jewish. So even if she claims the father's a Jew and the kid's a monster, but you could be told on Trey Ruby, Rov Yer Rov Si, the majority of the residents of the city are non-Jewish, the majority of the passers-by are non-Jewish. And even if she doesn't make that claim herself, she says, no, the father's Jewish. But the Mishmuel raises here in Sifkat and Kaftes, maybe in that kind of a case, we'd say Taninala. We'd say ourselves, Trey Ruby. The Mishmuel says, you don't say Taninan. And Ruki Vager says, maybe you do say Taninan. The Chalkas Yaakov writes as follows: Chuvas Chalkas Yaakov Eben Ezer Simen Yud Alephos Gimel. Chalkas Yaakov Eben Ezer Simen Yud Alephos Gimel. He says, Lulei Demistefina, not all places, societies, times are the same. That if you live in a time and a place where the Jews are in ghettos and they have limited contact to the non-Jewish population, and they have their distinct dress and their distinct language and their distinct practices, and there's almost no contact, so then you're not going to be choshesh that a woman was nisabra from an ochri. But nowadays, where all the barriers have fallen down, and we all speak the same language, and people go to the same schools and the same universities, and work on the same jobs, and speak the same language, and there's so much contact between the Jewish and non-Jewish population, they live in the same neighborhoods, every Jewish is a Jew has a non-Jewish neighbor, so then you have to be choshesh that she's nisabra lagoy. So that works in two directions. Sometimes that's a chumrah, sometimes that's a kula. As the Ravadi writes as well, Kovitz Shuvah Schelech Aleph Simen Kuf Mem Aleph. Kovitz Shuvah Schelech Aleph Simen Kuf Mem Aleph. Goes to Chasim Sofer, Evan Ezra Simen Tess. That when are we not told of a guy? That's because no self-respecting guy would have relation with a Jew. And that's all Yashiv writes, Hashanim Kitikunam. And that's when, in the good old days, when the Jews were separate from the Nachrim. But nowadays, that's no longer the case. So then you have to be told of a guy as a Jew. Then Rav Avadya has another phenomenal kula, based on a comment of the Afla. The Afla is the Afla wrote a sefer on Chumash called Panim Yafos. The Panim Yafos in Parshas Achremos, Perek Yeches, Pasuk Tes, writes the following. So we have a principle of Ro Bilos Eitz Alabal Achar Baal. Right? How do you ever know who someone's father is? Rov is achar baal. So the assumption is, the rov is, that the husband is the father. So we would have said that what? So if a woman is married to a husband, so rov bilas achar halach achar baal, whoever the child is, whatever child she has, is presumed to be the son of her husband. Let's say a woman is married once, gets divorced without a get, and marries a second time. So, what's the Rov Bilas Achar Baal in that case? So the Hafla says, Venira. Zahad Arminan Robila Sachal Halachachar Baal. Ain't a perish of Nesha Baila Ragula Slava Bias Harbi Yasamechay. But it's not a statistical analysis. It's not a mathematical rove that the majority of relations that a woman has is with her husband as opposed to anyone else. Shreyafilo Nesyachar Baal Ima Elopamachas Tol Nesablab Baal. But we still say Robila Sachar Baal, even if they're only together once, even if they've been married for 2 days. There's no mathematical rove that most of the woman's relationships were with his husband. Slow plug. Lo nitna dver l'shira. Lo chilka tarbeza. Ella, haperishu, sherov haniv olo semi balaya. It's not a ruba de isa kaman, a mathematical rove of the times that the woman has a relationship with the husband. It's a ruba de lasa kaman, rov haniv olos in the world, Arnav Alas mi balaya vilachain v'chay ve'krisos she'en kedushin tosa behem ve'en she'en ba'alav les alai rubas. Let's say a woman is married civilly to someone that she's asked to marry to v'chay ve'krisos and no tisus kedushin. So there, that person doesn't have the halachic status of a baal. Then you don't say ro bilas achar baal. It doesn't mean mathematically most of the relations a woman has are with her official husband. It's relevant of all in the world, Army Balayan. So Vadya says, based on the Safla, that even if a woman was married to husband one and gets divorced without a get and marries husband two, so halachically she's still married to husband one. So you say, Robilas Achar Baal is Achar Halachic Baal. And you have the right to assume that the father of this child is the first husband. Akadei Kacher, Vadya writes, in the Tshuva printed in Chelak Yud Aleph Siman Yud Gimel, that even in a case where the woman claims she believes her first husband to be dead, like in our case, so you're going to say she believes her first husband to be dead, Rov Bilas Achar, the purported dead husband? The Vadya says, no, maybe she just said that she believes her husband to be dead to cover herself. But even in that case, you say Rov Bilas Achar Halachic Baal. That's another phenomenal kula that Rav Avadya had in these cases of Rov Bilas Achar Habaal. If you have this, if you have the Trei Rubi, or the right to be told on a guy, So then this Rabbi Tzvi ben Yaakov at Bezen Tel Aviv said to me that according to Rav Adya, there's no such thing as a mamzer in Chutzlaretz, except for maybe a new square, that any place in Chutzlaretz, the majority of the population is not Jewish, they have the right to be Tola on a Nachri. Let's talk a little bit about Psulei Kahuna. So the Mechaber writes in the beginning of Siman Vav, Kohen Asher min haTorah deGrusha Zona veChalala. The Kohen not allowed to marry Grusha Zona Chalala. Asher b'chalutza midrabanan. Okay. Then in Sif Ches, Siman Vav Sif Ches, Eizu hi Zona. So a Grusha, we have a pretty good idea what that means. What is a Zona? Eizu hi Zona. Kol she'ein abas Yisrael. Obas Yisrael shenib elas the adam shiyasi really nasi lo Yisrael shavu l'kol. So Zona means either a giyores and mishukhreres, or a Jewish girl who's nivala l'asila, or nivala l'chalal. So if a Jewish woman is nivala l'akum, then she becomes a zona, and she's a sura l'kohen. Let's look back at Sif Aleph. Siman Vav Sif Aleph. We said that a grusha is not permitted to marry a kohen min haTorah. Mechaber continues, Afilu reach get posel v'kahuna. Even a reach get posels v'kahuna. Heichi dam reach get. What does that mean? Kago, she'amr la harei amikureshef mimani v'yamu tarasachalada. The person says, you're divorced from me, but you're not permitted to anyone else. Afa bishalahutra b'zeh get, that get is ineffective, because a get has to be a get krisos that totally severs the relationship and is mater her la'alma. Nevertheless, that creates a reach get that passels l'kahuna. That's the Mishnah in Yevamos, Sadi Beis Amud Aleph. Now the Pashas in Akamara, both in Yevamos, Sadi Dalid, and the Gittin Pei Beis Amud Beis, is that this psul of Reach Haget, that even if a woman isn't a grusha in full, but she received a get that has a Reach Haget, a whiff of a get, like that Gemara's case of Harem Gureshi Tzimena V'yamu Tarasachal Adam, the fact that she can't marry a Kohen sounds like that's a Din D'Araisuk. The Gemara darshes it from Sukkim. The Rambam sounds like it's a Din D'Rabbanan. The Rambam Perikiu Gerish and Alacha Aleph seems to indicate it's a Din D'Rabbanan. The Magen Mishnah discusses the Shita Sarabba, but Pashas is that it's a Din D'Araisuk. So this din of Reach Haget comes up in Shulchan Aruch in a few contexts. We just saw Vav Aleph in the context of marrying a Kohen. It also comes up in the context of Matzir Kushasa. Simon Yosef Aleph. Hamigarish is ishto v'achakav zinsa mutaras lachsa l'bayla. So if you give your get a wife, if you give your wife a get, and then she's mezana with someone else, there's no kedushin, no nesuin, just nus, no iser masik grushasa. Aval in this kach la'achler v'gersho meis asirulach l'risha. But if she's married to a second husband, then the iser masik grushasa sets in. Says Rama, and that's true even if there's only a reach a get. What's a reach get in that case? So look back at the Rama here in Simon Vav Sif Aleph, additional case of reach a get. Afilo neskar shirach mishum kol kedushin ba'alma. The reason she received the get is not because she was really married, but there was a cold, there was a murmuring, people were talking that there was a kedushin. Afa pishu barish ein mamish both in kedushin. Ve'ein osin get rach mikol chomer ba'alma. Afilo hachi psula kuhuna tshuvas harashba chelak aleph simin taf kuf nun. So another application of reach again, the tshuvas harashba is that even if the get was only precipitated by a call, by a shmua, by a murmuring that she was married, but there's no objective evidence that there was kedusha, and they only did a get to dispel this call, that still creates a reach get la'osra l'kohen. And that's what the Mishnah says by Masik Grusha. So also, even if the second gerushin is only because of a call, that still creates an iser of Masik Grusha. And then, third application, Simen Yud Gimel Sif Tes. Simen Yud Gimel Sif Tes in the context of Havchana. That even if a get is only issued because of a call, but there's no objective need for a get, that still starts the clock for Yisra Havchana, the woman's not allowed to remarry for 92 days. The Nosa Kalim here are bothered in Simon Vav by what seems to be a stira between two Chuvos HaRashba. The Ramah here in Simon Vav quotes a Rashba that even if the woman is only in receipt of a get because of a call, because of a murmuring that she was married, that still creates a Reach a get and asks her L'Kohen. And there's another Chuvos HaRashba. Beis Yosef quotes in Simon Yud Gimel that says the opposite. Chuvas Hamiyuchas of Simon Shindal, Chuvas Hamiyuchas of Simon Kuflam Beis. That's raised here by the Chalkas Mechokek Sifkatan Beis and by the Beis Shmuel Sifkatan Gimel. Where does this come up? So is a reach a get where a get is issued after a civil marriage or a non-halachic marriage? So as we discussed last time, most poskim assume that mikra din, a get is not required if there's only a civil marriage. L'chumra, we require a get anyway. So is that chumra going to hurt you to create a reach a get to asir lakuna? A woman's married civilly, receives a get from her first husband, now she wants to remarry a kohen. So, had we not done a get in the first place, the ikar din, we would have allowed her to marry. Now that we're doing a get l'chumra, does that make it worse? Does that create a reach a get that she's not allowed to remarry, to marry a kohen? Ravadia yabia omer chelak vav, Evan Ezra Simon Aleph, Chelak Vav Eben Ezra Simon Aleph is Mekal, at least for Sephardim, Le'inyan Machzir Grushaso. Because here only the Ramah quotes Reach a Get when it comes to Machzir Grushaso. What was the story there? That the couple was married civilly, and they separated, they got divorced. There was a get in Tel Aviv in 1967. Now, in 1970, she remarried a new husband, received a get, and wants to go back to the first husband. There's a first get, isn't that Mafsir Grushaso? So Ravadia thought you could be Mako, that since the first get was only because of the Chumrah of civil marriage, it wasn't necessarily Mikra Din, then you could be Mako, that doesn't require Reach a get, like the more Kuladik Chuvas Arashba, and therefore there's no Isser of Mafsir Grushaso. Then in the posthumous volume, Chelek Yud Aleph, Ravadia has two tshuvas, Lamed Beis and Lamed Gimel. Both of those tshuvas are written to Ashkenazim. And that was, as far as the Hetter Lacuna, the more clear-cut Reach HaGet. To allow a woman who received a get from a non-halachic marriage to now marry a Kohen. So Rav Amar was Mekel as well. Shuvah Sheva Shlomo Chelak Aleph Evan Ezra Simon Beis. Chelak Aleph Evan Ezra Simon Beis, at least for Sfardim, in a similar kind of a situation. And we have a letter from Aaron Soloveitchik as well, who was Mekel. And Rabbi Landesman from Munsi, at Bezen Kol Rabbanim as a tshuva, in which he argues as well that nowadays, you have the right to be Mako, that there's not going to be a Reach HaGet where there is no Chuppah V'Kiddushin. And that's relevant for Avchana as well. Rav Nata Greenblatt Tulzagazunt told us that he had this conversation with Rav Yashiv, Zichrono Livracha, once. And Rav Yashiv, Rav Nata was of the opinion that there's no concern of Reach HaGet from civil marriage. Rav Yashiv thought that you had to be Machmir. Maybe Tzvi Ben Yaakov in Tel Aviv, if I recall correctly, has the Tshuva, be Machmir as well. And the one of the articles in the Shura Sadin series that we have over there was Machmir as well. But our general orientation is to be Mekel, that a woman could marry a Kohen if there's a determination that the original get was L'chomer Ba'alma, and now required the Iker Hadid. Okay. As we discussed previously, the Gemara has in Kedushin Daf Ayin that Eva v'Achama b'Abbas Yisrael, we pass on a black kosher. If you have a non-Jewish father, Jewish mother, the kid is kosher. What does kosher mean? So machlokas rishonim, whether kosher means that there's no restriction at all. Does kosher mean kosher not a mamzer? No restriction at all is the requirement of a geiris we discussed, or the Rif quotes one day up. The Rif for Yavamas Tesvavim Beis Bedapi Rif. Ikam Rivasa the Messiah Miba, the high Darmina of Vlad Kasher, Hani Milisra. Kasher means that she can marry a Jew. Avala Kahuna of Vlad Pogum. But she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. It's still Pogum. The Birsa Yasu Lakohen, if it's a daughter, the daughter is not allowed to marry a Kohen. The Rambam writes, Yisurei Bia Pera Tesvav Alacha Gimel, Tesvav Gimel, Akum Ve'eva Babas Yisrael Havla Kosher, Bein Penuya, Bein Be'ishis Ish, Bein Be'ones, Bein Be'ratzam. For no reference in Rambam to Psol L'Kahuna. What do we say, Shulchan Aruch? Simon Dal, Sif Yates. Goy ve'evish avah mamzeres avah mamzer, and ba'abas yisrael, v'en penuy ben ish yisish, avlad kosher, u'pagam lakuna. The Mechaber writes, pagam lakuna. Even though the Rambam did not write that explicitly. Says the Beis Shmuel, Shmuel is earlier in the Siman, Sifkat and Beis. Because the Mechaber wrote earlier as well in Sif Hey, Dalet Hey, Yisrael Shabal Achas Mi Elo Vlad Kamosa, Echam Mi Elo Chutz Mi Mamza Shabal Basizal Vlad Kasha Lakal, Elisha Pagum Likahuna. That if Yisrael marries an Achri, the child is Pagum Lakuna. So there, the Chalkas Bechoke writes in Sif Katan Gimel, Mi yesh cholkem bezeh, ilavei lasafek. V'mnisei sabasa koin lo teisei v'vlad safik chol. The Chalkas Machloki writes, Machlokas Rishonim, so it's a safik ledina whether it's asa lakoin. Therefore, the din is that if this product of a non-Jewish father, Jewish mother, marries a kohen, lo teisei, we don't force them to divorce. Vavlad safek chalal, and the child will be a safek chalal. Bishmos of Katan Beis, the Rif is Mesopach, the Rambam writes Sherim, Rash Pegum Lakuna Mikal Vachomer, and therefore, Eimotziyam and Nises, Bishmos thinks according to the Rambam, Vlad is kosher. So among the contemporary Sephardi poskim, there's more of an orientation to be mekel on what's considered b'di'eved in nisayis lo teisei. So lichachila, a kohen is not allowed to marry the product of a non-Jewish father and Jewish mother. If they got married, lo teisei. But what's considered in nisayis lo teisei? So Rav Amar has tshuva, which Rabbi Bleich very strongly, it's actually the Psach of the Beit HaNar Gadol, if I recall correctly, Rabbi Bleich strongly attacked in tradition, probably goes back about 12 years, I imagine it's been reprinted in whatever the latest volume of Contemporary Halakha Problems is that came out since then. But Rav Amar was makel that even, what does it mean in Nisa Zoteitse? Maybe even if there wasn't a halachic marriage, even if there's a civil marriage, practically speaking, they're living together as husband and wife, and now they want to have the chuppah for kiddushin. So v'mar paskin, that's also nisei seteitzei. And maybe even if they're involved in a strong romantic relationship, even if they haven't married at all, maybe that's enough of a nisei seteitzei. That's not so much our tradition of psak, but there seems to be more of an orientation l'kula of mishash or v'mar among these Sephardi poskim in these matters. Okay. The next thing we need to discuss is Nehmanos to claim that someone's a kohen. Sometimes people are presumed to be kohanim, and they don't want to be kohanim, they want to marry a geirus, they want to marry a grusha, so they'd rather be a chalal or not a kohen. And sometimes people aren't kohanim and they would rather be kohanim. So how do we establish nehmanus in either direction to establish kahuna? We'll talk about that next time. Talk a little bit about muberes chavero, havchana, some of the other sorted issues, threshold issues towards Siddur Kedushin. Then after that, so that'll be Wednesday, Rosh Hashem. Then the next topic will be timing a wedding. And then we'll talk about filling out a ksuba, that'll take us through next week. So the plan is two more shiurim this week, Wednesday, Thursday. Wednesday, three, and then Thursday we'll figure out. And next week, Monday and Tuesday, and that'll be the end of this unit.